You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. It is Wednesday and wonderful to live in beautiful Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We'd like to invite you out to our Wednesday night services tonight at 7. We have classes for our children. We have classes for youth and young adults. We've got adult classes, and we're going through the Gospel of John on Wednesday night. It's really an enlightening class. I'm teaching it. It's not just another one of the things that I do. It's kind of a deep dive into each chapter in the book of John. And, you know, we keep modifying it as we go along. Sometimes we go through a chapter a week. Sometimes it takes us a few chapters. John chapter 6 was a lengthy and rapid fire process. There was a lot of information there. And so we do something similar in Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday mornings with the book of Acts. But it's a different resource there. And so, and we continue to tweak that as we go along as well. This is something that I'm doing, to equip the saints with the word of God. So today, we are going to go to, by the way, service tonight, 7 p.m., 7 to 8, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. So today we're returning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 25 and 26. This talks about the manner in which a servant of the Lord must conduct himself. So it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So if you were listening to yesterday's program, we are approaching the solution at the last as we present the condition that the people that Timothy was ministering to found themselves in. So we talked about that they are being held captive by the devil to do his will. And so that ought to give us the right motivation. They are in a trap, and so we need to understand that they need to be set free from the trap, but they need to recognize the seriousness of the trap and not want to return to that. The reason that they became ensnared in the first place was that their senses were out of alignment. They were out of whack. And so if we allow our bodily senses to be more influential in our life than our spiritual senses, we will be compromised in both areas. And that can go as well as intellectual as well. And so as a result of those three things, that they've been taken captive by the devil, they're in a trap, their senses are compromised, the result of those are that they do not know the truth. They don't know the truth about who Jesus is. They don't know the truth about God's word. They don't know the truth about their current situation. They do not know the truth about the damage and the pain that it's going to cause and the end result of what that lifestyle is going to mean for all of eternity. And I will say this, the enemy is very good about giving out information that is not true. He is also phenomenal about withholding information that is true. Both of those things are used to deceive so that people will not know the truth. So because of those situations, those four situations, they don't know the truth, they're sensually compromised, they're trapped by the devil, and they are used as tools of the enemy to do his will, God has a solution, and it's a man named Timothy. Here in Brevard County, there are times that that man's name will be Bob. Sometimes the person named will be you. You're the solution to people who are ensnared, captives, doing the will of the devil. Their sensual perception is compromised, and they don't know the truth. And so God sends them a servant of his because he wants to grant them repentance. If you know the truth about your perilous condition, but you're powerless to be able to do anything about it, you can now tell them, hey, God has a solution to the problem, and it is repentance. Repentance is not just saying you're sorry. Repentance is not just asking for forgiveness. Repentance is a gift from God. I describe repentance as the first blessing from God. That in order for all of the other blessings from heaven to flow, that there has got to be repentance. There's got to be a recognition of our hopeless condition and realizing that Jesus is the God of all hope, and he has come to forgive us of our sins and empower us to live the life that God always wants us to. So, repentance is a change of heart. It is a change of mind. It is a change of direction. And I like to add this there. It is a change of pace as well. If you have ever been stuck in a snowstorm, where I come, that can happen, did happen, you realize that in order to get unstuck and get to going the right direction that you're supposed to, that sometimes you're going to have to push the accelerator so that you can get out of the mess that you're in. I tell people that we need to be running harder towards the things of God than we ran away from God. And many of us were very good. I use the term professional sinners. I don't know if there's any other professional sinners out there, but you were very gifted. You had skills when it came to not doing what God wanted you to do. But thank God that he can give us the gift of repentance. It's a gift from him. Where we have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction, and change of pace, where we are running hard after the things of God. There's a guy in the Old Testament. His name is Jehu. He was he served under Ahab's authority when Ahab was king, and then he was anointed by, I believe it was Elisha's servant. Not Elijah, but Elisha. And he said, you are anointed king over Israel, while somebody else was on the throne. And he started zealously ridding the kingdom of idol worship and ungodly influences. So as he's approaching a town, someone says, "Who's that?" And they said, "I don't really know who it is, but the driving is like that of Jehu." I preached a message one time called Driven, and that was one of the illustrations, is can people identify you by the way that you drive? And if you've seen people in our community and you can identify them by their car or by their driving style, a lot of times it helps you to recognize them even if they don't recognize you. Well, Jehu was a driven man. I believe that we should be driven by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring awareness of God to those who need repentance in a great deal. So what is it that these people needed to repent of? Specifically, it says here, as we continue to move our way back up towards the beginning of verse number 25, that what these people needed to repent of was that they were in opposition to Timothy. And I told you on yesterday's program about the person who said, "Hey, my job is to oppose the pastor here." You can read the Bible all the way through and you will never find that there is a godly anointing to oppose a person placed by God, anointed by God, appointed by God, empowered by God, living for God. You can't find that there's a special gifting from God. You can find it from another source, but we are not supposed to be opposing or positioning ourselves. When I look at the word oppose, the word that I see as the core of that is pose. It is a positioning. It's where we get the word position. And say, this is how I am going to fixate myself. If you find yourself opposing God, you are going to find yourself extremely frustrated. You are going to find yourself under attack. You're going to find yourself not filled with joy, but discouraged and angry and things like that. When I read the book of Revelation, I finished reading through the New Testament again in January. And in spite of God's efforts to show how displeased he was with society and their godlessness, and there were plagues and vials that were poured out and all sorts of terrible things happening, that these people positioned themselves not in humble repentance, but in frustration, shaking their fist at God and blaming him that they can't even die. What's your position this morning? You see, every day we have the opportunity to position ourselves in the presence of God, to position ourselves as a student of the word, to position ourselves in obedience to fulfill what God has done to us, for us, or we can position ourselves in opposition to that. These people had positioned themselves in opposition to the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was not just an opposition to Timothy. It was an opposition to building the kingdom of God. And so as a result, they don't know the truth. They're unrepentant. Their senses are compromised. They're captive in the trap of the enemy, and they're doing the will of the devil instead of the will of God. So, those are the targets. They are not the target for punishment. They are the target for repentance. And because spiritual restoration is the goal, it requires correction. Now, I don't like I don't like correcting. I didn't say I couldn't do it. I don't say that I haven't do it. I do try and operate by a rule, and that is I try very hard not to bring correction on Sunday, because I've experienced that, and that is miserable. When every week you are getting corrected instead of empowered, that gets to be old in a hurry. It causes you not to look forward to going to church. And that was, I was a minister, and I was like, I am not enjoying going to church. And so when I became a pastor, I said, I don't want to do that. You see, I can either learn to duplicate behavior that I've experienced from others, or I can choose to reject that and embrace a different way, and that is, hey, I want people, when they come to the house of God, to encounter the presence of God. That's what our theme for this year is, treasuring his presence, and leave with joy in their hearts because they have left some things behind at the altar. So, correcting is not something that I really enjoy doing, but it is something that if I have to, I can do it. Have done it, still do it. But it has to be done correctly. There are right ways and wrong ways to bring correction. If you bring correction out of your emotional frustration, you are going to do great damage. Even if you are in the right positionally, but you use the wrong motivation, you are not going to see the results that you want. You're not going to see the results that God wants. And people are going to be even more captive. They're going to be more ensnared. They are going to be more compromised as far as their spiritual senses go. They are not going to be repentant. They are going to be entrenched greater in deception, and you may have just fortified and reinforced their position to doing the will of the devil, and that's not what we want. We want them set free. So how are we supposed to bring correction? The correction is training and educating. It's instructing someone to adopt a certain way of life. It's an act of discipline. The focus of correcting is on the behavior resulting from the education. So correction is designed to bring out a godly lifestyle in the person. Many times it may be because they don't know any better. There's been a lot of times where I did something on a job and one of my supervisors said, don't do that. Now, what was really interesting about that, It was a product that we were selling, and I was using it on our displays, and the supervisor, who was a district supervisor, we hardly ever saw him, he said, don't do that, it dries out the leather. And I was like, well, why are we selling that as a noble product when it actually has a detrimental effect? It was just a curious thing that I saw. So I stopped using that product because my supervisor said it doesn't give us the longevity of the shoe the way that we want it to. So, again, correcting is not about punishment. It's about transformation. many times people correct their children, but they do it as punishment instead of discipline, instead of transformational behavior that's going to come out of that. So what is it that Paul instructs Timothy to use as the technique for disciplining those who had positioned themselves in opposition to him? It might sound odd, but the truth is, he says, do it in humility. Timothy was a young man. There were still going to be a lot of things that he would learn through the years. And one of the things that he needed to learn is that if you are positioned in authority, use that authority in humility. Don't do it from a source of pride. God gives grace to the humble. Grace is the favor that you need for that moment, for that act. And as a result of that, whenever I have to act in a corrective manner, before I ever talk to that person about their behavior, I talk to God about my heart so that I can pray out my carnality so that I can bring my emotions under his lordship so that I can operate with the grace of God and not find myself in need of correction, because that is also a trap of the enemy. Let me just say this as well. One of the greatest traps that the enemy uses is the trap of offense. Not a fence, offense. Well, I'm offended. I'm offended about this, I'm offended about that, I'm offended about everything that makes me uncomfortable. That's the way that many people live. They live offended. And that is a trap of the enemy. And, John Bevere actually wrote a book about that close to 30 years ago. It's titled The Bait of Satan. If you want to read a good book that will, bring some correction into your life, that's a good book to do it. We are not to be offended. We are supposed to live in humility, because by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Thank God for his grace. So, Timothy, in humility, correct those who are in opposition. Correcting is something that is a continuing process. It probably will not be a one and done. If a person is in a healthy relationship, as a student and a teacher, if you will, there's lessons to be learned every day. Some of my favorite teachers are not teachers that I sat under for one lecture. The teachers that really impacted me were the ones that said, every day, this is what our target is. This is what our goal is. And pastors, I believe, should have a prolonged relationship with people, and the longer you journey with them, the more correction that there is going to be, and it's going to be done in humility. So when when people think about me, I don't want them to think of me as proud. I don't want them to think of me as arrogant. I don't want them to think of me as tolerant of ungodliness. I want them to know that I'm watching over their souls as one who's got to give account. And so sometimes that is that responsibility can go one of two ways. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says that if the people who a pastor is watching out for their souls, if they will live in a manner which the pastor can watch over their souls with joy, that's the great way to do it. But if I'm watching over the souls of someone who has not any desire to reject ungodliness in their lifestyle, that can be a challenging season, let's put it that way. So in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And so allow God to do a work inside of you so that every time you hit a bump of adversity, you don't want to throw in the towel, but cause him to create in you a steadfast heart where you are watching over people's souls because God's made you a shepherd, not a hireling. The goal is to get people to repent. Okay? It's not about people saying, you were right, I was wrong. That's not. The goal is to get them to change their heart, their mind, their direction when it comes to things of God so that they are cooperating with the things of God instead of fighting the things of God. As a result of that repentance, they will know the truth. They will have accurate spiritual perception. They will escape the snare of the devil. And instead of being captive to do the will of the devil, they will be privileged to do the will of God. And so if we align ourselves with our will to say, God, my greatest desire is to do your will. I delight to do your will. That was the heart of Jesus. He delighted to do the will of God. Even when it was lethal to his flesh, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. When we have gotten to the place where we are joyfully and committed to doing the will of God, we are going to find that there is joy on the other side of the adversity. Jesus found joy on the other side of the cross. And it made going to the cross all worthwhile. I pray if you're in a position of authority that you will also be a person of humility and that you will realize that the goal is to see people set free, to serve Jesus and live for him, not just to make yourself feel better. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.